Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Welcome to today's episode on the 10 Adventures podcast. Today, I'm with Karen, and we're talking with Thomas Busagay about the Via Adriatica, an 1,100 kilometer through hike that goes the length of Croatia. Thomas has a great podcast about his trip called In a Tent with the French Man. What's unique is it's a daily podcast of his trip, allowing you to experience the highs and lows that he had on his trip. Hi, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So the first question is, what motivated you to do the Via Adriatica in 2020 in, you know, the midst of this, you know, big pandemic?
I'm not much of a hiker, to be honest. I'm more of a day hiker. When I was growing up in the south of France, we would go to the mountains. But I've been living in Belgium for 10 years, and there is absolutely no mountain and very little nature. So I was kind of missing that to begin with. And I heard about this insane kind of trails you got in the US, like the Appalachian Trail and stuff like that. And a few years back, I read A Walk in the Woods by Bryson, and I was like, my God, that's insane. That's insane to walk that much. And that little by little got ingrained into my head. And I was starting to just look at it very much and on a very, like, I don't know, practical standpoint, like maybe that's something I could do. And then happened 2019. That was a terrible year for me. Millions of bad things happened to me. It was the year of my first real job, and it turns out that I hated it. it almost made me go into depression. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrible. It's also the year my girlfriend dumped me. And I was like, oh my God, everything is going bad this year. And because I was such in a terrible, terrible time, I started to think back at, let's be alone in the woods for 6 months. That sounds like a good moment to do it. And I wanted to go to the Appalachian Trail, but obviously nothing ever goes according to plan. A few days before I went there, Donald Trump banned all Europeans to go there, like a few days before my plane. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm not going there apparently. And I postponed it for a month, and then for 2 months, and then for 3 months. And after a while, I was like, okay, apparently I'm not going to go there. I had my visa, I got everything planned, and it couldn't go. So I had to check for another long distance hike because I definitely needed to be alone in the wilderness. And I went onto a website to check everything that is happening, and I found out about the Via Dinarica. And Via Dinarica is a long distance hike that is 1,300 kilometers that goes across all the Balkan countries, so ex-Yugoslavia. And I've been there when I was younger, and I had the time of my life. So I was like, let's hike there again and eat a lot of grilled meat, because they love to do that there. And I started to want to do that. But then again, pandemic strike, and I couldn't start in Slovenia because Slovenia didn't accept Belgium. And I live in Belgium. So I checked the Via Adriatica because Croatia was the only country accepting anybody. They were like, yeah, no problem, just come. So I started like that, and I wanted to merge the two, but for reasons, like for health reasons, because I had a bad knee, that was the worst year, I severed my ligaments. So I started the hike without ligaments on my right knee, so I was tripping and stuff like that. It was horrible. So doing the Via Dinarica seemed to be too complicated, and the Via Adriatica was so welcoming that I was like, well, I'm going to finish the Via Adriatica because that's amazing. So it's actually quite random. There's a lot of randomness involved.
It sounds like there's a lot of randomness involved. I can hear that. So you had to cancel the Appalachian Trail because flights being canceled with the pandemic. So how did you go about researching what your options were? Like, was this just a bunch of Google searches that led you here?
Exactly. It was just like a long distance hike. Europe. That was literally the only thing I was looking for. And I found a ton of hikes. So you have those E1, E2, E3, blah, 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 blah. But they seem to be not well maintained. And a lot of road walking is involved. And I didn't want some road walking. I really wanted some wilderness. Because that's one of the curses in Belgium. Every time you hike on the road. And it's kind of, I didn't want that. So, and also I was so ready for the bears. A ton of bears. And I was like, I want to be in bear country.
You wanted to take your life in your hands.
Yes, I wanted to be scared at night alone in my tent and feel alive, really. So that's how I started to look for it, and that's how I stumbled upon it. It was really like randomly, and as I mentioned, I just love the Balkans. I love Eastern Europe. I learned Russian on my own time, so I was like, you know, the roots of the language is about the same, so maybe I will find a few words that match. And actually I did, which was nice. It was really a lot of randomness.
I like your comment where you said you wanted to be in a tent and feel alive. And I find that kind of compelling, maybe one of your motivations for a long distance hike, you know, to be alone and feel alive. That sounds pretty epic. So you've narrowed down your choices to the Via Adriatica in Croatia. And just to be clear, was part of that because that was where you could go because of the pandemic?
Yes, I would love to have better motives. I would love to have an amazing story about it. But the real story is really, they were the only one accepting me. Most of the people doing the Via Adriatica actually have a tie to Croatia somehow. It's a fairly new trail. It's been like 3 years that it's been made. And I was so little informed that I thought it was just like a century-old trail that everybody knew about it. But truth be told, I was actually the 10th person to hike it.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes, I was literally the 10th one to finish it. And before me were mostly Croatian, only Croatian almost, and a Slovenian couple, so still ex-Yugoslavia, still knowing the language. And there was an American girl just before me, but from Croatian origins. So it was kind of like going back to our sources. I was the only real tourist. The only guy who just like stumbled upon the country and was like, yeah, that's nice in here. Let's just walk.
Well, that sounds like an amazing experience, you know, because I hadn't heard of the Via Adriatica myself. And so before we have this discussion, I did a bunch of research and I did get that impression that it seemed to be a rather new trail. And most of the information wasn't in English, or there was just spotty information in English. So that's pretty impressive. So how much time did you spend planning that? Like from the time you decided, okay, this is what I'm doing, until you take off and get going?
So I would separate the preparation time in two. The first one is the gear research. I am crazy about gear. I am the kind of guy who will buy gear even if he doesn't hike. So for years in Brussels, I was buying the best gear possible and never planned on using it. I was just like, ooh, really love this tent, it's really beautiful, I want to have it. it makes me feel like I can do it, even if I don't do it. So I was planning on researching the gear quite a lot. I watched a ton of YouTube videos about the Appalachian Trail and about the ultralight movement, so I spared no expenses. I was like, I want the best of the best, I don't care. Which led me to spend way too much on my gear, to be honest. But I had a job at the point, and I was like, I don't care. So the gear research phase took me a few months. I would like to say like 4 to 6 months to just really gather everything. Being in Europe, it was a little bit more complicated because a lot of gear is made in America because the culture of the ultralight is way better there, more developed. And in Europe, we have a lot of very strong gear, but not ultralight. So it's a completely different way of seeing hiking. I tried as best as I could to find European brands to just reduce the cost, and also because, well, I wanted to be sure that it was possible to find it, and I wanted to support it as well. So, for example, my bag, my ultralight bag, is from a small Ukrainian brand. And at the time I was looking for it, in Europe, only three brands were doing Dyneema backpacks, ultralight. And they were one of the three. So I was like, cool, Ukrainian brand, amazing, lightweight to name them. The research for the brand, for the gear was, yeah, around five months, let's say. And then the research for the Appalachian Trail, quite a lot, but it was completely useless. And the research for the Via Dinarica at first, so not the Via Adriatica, but the Via Dinarica, maybe 2 weeks, a month. And the Via Adriatica, few days, because I didn't really know, but I was like, it's walking, Walking is walking. It should be fine. It's Europe. I'm going to be fine. I didn't really realize because, and you researched a little bit to Via Adriatica and you see the website is amazingly made. It's beautiful. They are really good with communication. So when I saw all of that, I was like, that's definitely a very easy trail to do. Probably it's very well equipped because it seems so beautiful and so professional. So I'm going to have just a breeze. I'm just going to have a walk in the woods in Croatia. And I didn't realize at all it wasn't like that. And I would be, yeah, the 10th person to pass on many places, which means that there were no tracks and I had to make it myself.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is one of the things of the Via Adriatica. It's a lot of it is a good idea. At the time I was doing it, it was a good idea on the GPS. And then when you're there, you're like, but how? How do I go there? It's like, the first time was a few days in and there was a wall of vegetation and the GPS was going straight in the wall of vegetation. And I really took an hour to just go up the road, down the road, and just looking at the wall of vegetation, I'm like, it's not possible. Nobody can go through that. Because I'm used to the very perfect hiking trails in France where everything is extremely well marked and everything is perfect. And I couldn't believe that it was possible to bushwalk. And I was just with my sticks and I was like, let's try. And I started to go into it and bleed everywhere because I was like in the bushes and the thorns and everything and just spiders on my face and just like, oh my God, it's horrible. But in the end, it was the trail. It was really funny because you had very, very good sections and you had terrible, terrible sections. And this contrast constantly was very, very funny. But I didn't anticipate at all anything because I thought it would be, well, like the AT, like a highway. Highway of walking, it wasn't.
So it sounds like in some places that trail was aspirational as opposed to a real trail.
It is. It really is.
I had a similar experience. I was doing one of the Eurovelos, which is the European cycling routes. And in France, the Eurovelo is spectacularly well marked and easy to find. But in parts of southern Spain, we referred to it as an aspirational Eurovelo as well. So it sounds kind of similar.
It is a little bit like that. But to be fair, I mean, the trail is very, very new and there is no money put into it. For the moment, it's all volunteers, so they don't have the time to just like mark everything. And they are doing a fantastic job already at making it functional. And it's doable. I mean, I did it, so it's doable. It's just like takes a little bit more. But since last year that I did it, I know that they have cleared some sections and it's always an ongoing work. And the more people pass on it and the easier it will get. So I think it will be even easier to do this year and the year coming because it's gaining in popularity quite drastically.
Hey, Thomas, I have a question. I think it's really interesting how you didn't have a chance to prepare. And a lot of people, one of their complaints is there's so much information. They kind of know what they're going to do and there's no surprises and no kind of like these aha moments. In your case, you were doing a route that was really new and you spent almost no time preparing and the information was, you know, largely in Croatian. Did that really change, you know, what your through hike was versus kind of what you'd expected on, you know, when you were planning for the AT?
Definitely, definitely. I can say with confidence that I didn't anticipate any of the things that happened to me. One part is because I didn't plan it that much. What I planned is to be safe. So all my gear, I knew I could face most of the situations without a care in the world and I would be surviving. Also, it is an EU country, so I would have 4G connection, so I have internet, so if I have a problem, I know I am safe. So I am not reckless. I am a very, very safe person in many, many aspects. So the safety part was really essential for me and I knew for the most part that I would be safe. Even I was the only one carrying, for example, a bear bag. In Europe, nobody ever carries a bear bag. It cost me a fortune to import it from the US. And everybody was making fun of me on the trip. Like, what is a bear bag? Do you go into it when the bear attacks? No, it's just food. And they couldn't understand the concept of a bear bag. And I felt foolish, like hanging it out every night. And everybody was like sleeping with their food in the tent. It's like, what are you doing? The bear don't want to see you. Okay, well, I don't know. I have it. So yeah, the safety part, I knew that I was like prepared enough for the safety. For everything else, everything was a haha moment because I had no idea. Even the name of the places I was going, even the name of the big mountains, even the name of the places I would end up. Because everybody is like, where are you going? And mine was always the end of Croatia. There is Croatia and then there is the sea. This is where I'm going. And where did you start? The beginning of Croatia. There is the beginning, there is the sea, and this is me. So that was already what I was doing all the time. So I was lucky on many, many, many things. One thing that saved me is that a guy from the organization helped me. He took me under his wing. Hervoje, I will never thank him enough. And there are many things you have to know in Croatia about mountains, hearts, and stuff like that. So I was part of this insane community around the Via Adriatica that made it so much easier. If I was alone, I don't know if I could have done it completely. But because I was like taken into consideration by the whole community and by this guy, Hervoje, who was planning sometimes events for me, like, hey, tomorrow you're sleeping there. And I was like, okay, apparently I am. Because every morning I didn't know where I was going. I didn't even check like the day, like how much kilometers I want to do or anything. I was just like, if I'm tired, I will put my tent. I don't care. I just like walk. I have food. I have water. I'll find a way. And I was just walking and I didn't even have a plan to do a number of kilometers per day. I didn't care. I was just like, yeah, I'm just walking. We'll see. We'll see if I end up. And every day, like, it was a wow moment. Every day, I didn't know that, for example, but I think there were like 17 peaks of real mountains. And I didn't expect a single mountain because I thought it would be a walk in the woods. I didn't even knew that. I was that silly. So every day I was like going up and it's like, oh, it's climbing today. And then, oh, there is a peak. And I was looking at the peak and like, oh my God, it's beautiful. And the next day, oh my God, there is another peak. And every day I was like, it's beautiful. It's an amazing peak. So everything was just a wow moment to me. And after a while, you get some knowledge because everybody talks to you like, oh, you're going to go in the Biokovo Mountains. You're going to go in the Velebit Mountains. And little buddy told you, you kind of know what you can expect. And you have people, which is very unique to the Via Adriatica, at the time I did it, who follow you and follow you like day by day. And you have a whole community of thousands of people following you.
Do you mean they follow you physically or they follow you digitally? Because I'm trying to imagine all these people on your tail.
This is actually almost both. there is this thing that is quite unique to Via Adriatica at the time I did it, because when I say they, it's the community of people on Facebook mostly. They have a page called Via Adriatica Hiker Corner, and they changed the name several times. When I started hiking, this group had 4,500 people. Those 4,500 people are just here to help. Their sole interest is to help because they're so proud of the people who are attempting to do it that they want to help. Mind you that I was the 10th. So there were like 4,000 people ready to help, only 10 people in global. And by the time I ended, it was 6,500. So there were like people everywhere in Croatia that knew you were arriving. And it's a very bizarre thing that you end up in places where people like ask you in advance, hey, you're coming in my region. Do you want to sleep at my place? Do you need a shower? Do you need food? Do you need anything? And you're just like walking alone all day because there is nobody in the mountains. And at the night you have people welcoming you like you're part of the family. And you're like, hey, I'm coming. I'm there.
Oh, wow. So like you had mentors the whole time.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. And I felt like a Croatian mountain influencer at some point, when the only thing I was doing was just walking in the mountains. I had nothing to show. I was just on holidays and people were like, yeah, you're there. Amazing.
Yeah, you're a star in the mountains in Croatia. Amazing. I'm trying to get a sense of like what the trail's like. So, you know, some long distance hikes, you know, they have certain stages and most people stop at certain, you know, like I think of the Caminos, you know, people stop at certain, like there's some spots where most people stop. And then I'm thinking of other long distance hikes. I did a week or two on the John Muir Trail in the US. And in that one, there's actually no campsites. You just camp wherever you feel like it. Now, from what you're saying, I'm wondering where the Via Adriatica falls.
So it's a kind of a mix. The first thing to know is that in Croatia, wild camping is forbidden by law. But nobody cares. Absolutely nobody cares about that. I never even a second had a problem. On the contrary, people were telling me, yeah, just camp there. Just go there. I mean, there is a spot. The second day, I was found by a guy. I was almost camping in his back garden, and he stumbled upon me, and I was wearing almost nothing because I was drenched in sweat, and I was like, I need to air myself. There is no body. Okay, I don't care. I put my swimsuit. And this guy just stumbled upon me, and he was like, oh, you're camping there? I'm like, yeah, you're alone. Yeah. Come drink. This was his only answer. And it was like, come drink. And he invited me to drink with his whole family. And then they gave me alcohol for the trail. So it was this kind of thing that it's still Balkan mentality. So, I mean, in Istria, they will not like the fact that I say it's Balkan mentality. And some people will assume it, some people will not. But it's still this thing that there is the law and then there is the reality. And you can just bend the rules and it's fine. I mean, you can camp. Who cares? It's the nature. Nobody cares. So there was this aspect to it that was nice. So you never really care about where you go camping. If you're more prepared than me, there are dormitories that you can spot on in advance, and you can call the people in advance, and you have a spot to sleep in the dormitories in most places. Not everywhere, but in most places you can find them. It's still better to carry a tent because it allows you more flexibility. But in general, I know that I was I briefly hiked with another through hiker for a week there. We meet in the middle. She was way faster than me. She had a tent, but she used it, I think, two or three times only. And all the other time she was like sleeping at places, at people, or in dormitories, or in mountain huts. They have this thing in Croatia, the mountain huts. Some are free to access. So you just have to just open the door. It's in the middle of nothing and it's open. And inside you have everything to live. And it's beautiful and it's magnificent. And you have others that are more private and you have to ask the key in advance, so you have to know the person. And sometimes it's a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. So if you don't know him, it's completely. So I had this guy, Hervo, yes, so saved my life a ton of time because he's like, yeah, I called Meshan and he's going to come and take your key to you. And you have to bring the key to the assessor guy, the other team, and blah, 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 blah. Everybody knows everybody. It was kind of weird, but it just worked. So you don't have like stages that you really need to do, except in some places, like, for example, I would say Velebit Mountain. Velebit Mountain is the wildest part. It's can be a little bit hard in terms of weather conditions. So it's nice to have mountain hut to mountain hut, because the tent will be kind of complicated. Biokovo as well, because Biokovo is mainly rocks. So when you try to camp on rocks, it's kind of annoying and it's kind of a dangerous mountain. So you have to be a little bit careful about that. So most of the time you do what you want. And sometimes if you can take like advantage of the mountain huts, go for it. They're for free and they're very well maintained. I am absolutely in love with the mountain huts in Croatia. I had my best times in them. So I would really definitely recommend just spending the nights there. It's always amazing.
It does sound amazing. And I love that feeling of freedom that you're describing, you know, that ability to go from location to location and not plan too hard. In those sections where you felt like maybe you had to have planned your stops a bit more, were you getting your information mostly from that Facebook group then? Were they the ones helping you?
Yeah, 100%. It was mostly the Facebook group that was linked very tightly to the organization of the Via Adriatica. I don't know how long it's going to be like that because it's gaining in popularity and they do a very personal approach. Like I said, I had this guy who was just really following me all the time and telling me, well, you know, you have to check in on me because I don't know where you are and I need to know that you're safe and blah, blah, blah. So I had this feeling that I was really like with a guardian angel that really helped me. But for most of the time, it's nice to know a little bit in advance if you can, and it doesn't hurt to know a little bit of Croatian because English is not everywhere, to say the least. I even had to speak in German in some places because they speak better German than English. So it was kind of a complicated time.
Yeah, I was wondering if language would be an issue. So it sounds like Google Translate might be your best friend if you're don't know much German or Croatian.
Yeah. I mean, Russian helps as well. And in Croatian, you have to know some keywords. I mean, the only thing that I was asking all the time is pitka voda, which just means drinking water. And I was just like stopping like random old people in villages when I was crossing them. It's like, "Извините, pitka voda." And and then I was saying that I was French because it was better then. Otherwise, I didn't know who I was. French. So yeah, no, I mean the basics is really enough.
And so how often when you're doing that trail are you going through villages? Is it something you pass through every day or?
It's quite recurrent on most of the time. So in the first part in Istria, you pass in like very beautiful villages, and you can even like have a restaurant meal every day because it's really well timed. And when you go in the more like wilderness sections like the Velebit or Biokovo, then you have to carry more food with you because you have to be autonomous. I think the longest time you go without seeing a village really is 6 days crossing the Velebit. And even then, you cross some roads. So if you want to hitchhike or stuff like that, you can still do it. It's still doable. You're never really alone too far. It's something that is really nice.
That sounds really nice. So the longest time you had to carry food was 6 days.
Yes.
But you knew that was coming up. Like you could plan for that.
I want to say yes, but not really. So what happened at this point when I started the Velebit section of 6 days, I was lucky to be met by Karen. Karen is the other person that was doing a through hike this summer. This summer, we were three people doing the through hike. It was Karen and Audrey, which is the American girl, who is the American girl, and myself. And Karen started after me, but she was so damn fast that she caught up to me on the Velebit section. So we hiked together the Velebit. And I was tired, but she wasn't. And she had to be ready for the... her kids were going to school at a specific date. So she had to finish by the date. So she went on. And thanks to her, I learned a lot because she knew way more. She was prepared and she was Croatian, so that helped. So she kind of told me, yeah, prepare yourself for the next week because we're not going to have a lot of food. So yeah, I prepared in advance. But anyway, I was carrying way too much food because I was so scared of not having enough. I was stupid. I mean, I carried it was insane. I carried the same loaf of bread from the beginning to the end. And it was my emergency bread, which was absolutely inedible by the end and crumbled at the end of my bag. But I didn't care. I was like, I still have bread. Just in case, I have bread. That was ridiculous.
We always stick to emergency chocolate when we're doing long distance hikes because it's not so bad to end up with a bar of chocolate at the bottom of your bag.
The trip seems really incredible. You know, kind of combining these, you know, being alone with, you know, this community and the cool kind of Croatian culture. When you think back, like, what's the best part of the Via Adriatica? If people are asked, like, hey, you know, what did you like? What can people look forward to if they're thinking of doing it?
I would say that the scenery is insane on the Via Adriatica because of this very unique situation that you are always along the coastline. So that's why it's Adriatica, because it's the Adriatic Sea. So you are always on a mountain looking at the sea. So it's the most dramatic view you can even imagine. And every day is new. And you still have the sea just like taunting you. It's like beautiful blue sea and everything. I am not a sea person. I don't like the sea that much. But there, I was just, oh my God, it's beautiful. And every time I was almost annoyed, like every day, oh my God, it's beautiful again. Jesus Christ, stop being so beautiful. It's too much. It was really like absolutely amazing. So if you are in for the scenery, the most dramatic sceneries I've seen is on the Via Adriatica. And on top of that, there is the Croatian hospitality. I don't want to advertise it too much because I think I was extremely lucky to be one of the very few to do it. And I don't know if in the longer run it's possible to be that nice to one particular person, because the level of hospitality that I experienced was properly insane. I just still don't understand why people were so nice. There is this culture of, they told me quite a lot. The culture in Croatia is that the guest has to have the biggest part of the meat. The guest has to have the best experience possible. You cut yourself some stuff so the guests can enjoy it. It's really part of the culture. And on top of that, they are trail angels and they love what you're doing and they want to help you. So I felt I never got used to it. I never got used to how nice people were. And every time I was like, oh my God, really? You're doing that? Oh, why? You're too nice. Stop being so nice. And I was just like constantly surrounded by support. Even then when I was like really doubting, I had like so many people just like watching my posts. Like on Facebook, I was sending pictures on the Facebook group every day and everybody was like, wow. People were just excited to see like their country. And they were like commenting on my pictures. I've been there. Well, yeah, probably it's your country. I mean, it was crazy to me. And they were posting their own picture of the same place. I'm like, yeah, you did. Well done. And everybody was so excited about all of that. And I was really like carried away. I was like, my God, it just... I should not disappoint those people now. I have to be good. I have to finish. So the community was quite insane in that front. And the hospitality of the people and the help, even the people who were not connected to the Via Adriatica were just nice. I was outside of a village one day and I was kind of not lost, but I was just checking on my phone to see if I took the wrong place. And an old person came to me and started to talk in Croatian. I was like, no. Yeah. So he asked his granddaughter to come and his granddaughter was speaking English. And I was like, hey, well, I'm just like looking for this. And the grandfather was like, hey, wait, come in Croatian. I ended up spending the day with them because he was giving me so much food and so much alcohol and like telling me to stay in their beautiful garden with the granddaughter translating everything and them being so happy that I am here. The French guy coming from over there was like my tan and I was like destroyed everywhere and my shirt was looking like nothing. And it was just like feeding me. And because I'm a very good eater, I was eating everything like crazy. And because I'm a very good drinker, they were pouring more and more homemade alcohol. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. And that's the kind of thing that happens. And if you're ready for it, and if you're ready to just stop, and you don't really care about being fast or that kind of thing, and you're just here to enjoy the moment, and you say yes to stuff, in there it works. It really damn works. And you end up like having those insane moments that you were not planning with people. And yeah, this day I didn't do many, many miles, but I did them very, very tipsy.
I mean, it sounds like you were really just going with the flow. You know, the trail would present something to you and you would just respond and, you know, without a preconceived idea. Is that a new way of being for you or have you always been like that?
It's not that new. I'm not the most determined person. No? I'm not the most like driven person. No? I don't have a goal and I don't have, which is it, actually, I went there to find a goal, like to find a purpose for life. I didn't. I failed miserably, but I had a good time. So it was like, okay, well, apparently I'm doing it this way. And it's also linked to some kind of Croatian mentality, especially in the south of Croatia, in Dalmatia. They have this word, pomalo. Pomalo kind of roughly translate to take it easy or just like don't sweat it. It's a kind of mentality that means just don't rush it. Don't rush it. In Dalmatia, they have this culture of always stopping to take a coffee. And it's always like, we don't know what to do. Let's have a coffee. Let's have a coffee. And they just sit around and just have a coffee. And I was so much in this pomalo mentality that it became my nickname. And everybody was just calling me pomalo. And actually, I even got a trophy for finishing the trail and they engraved pomalo on it. Because now it's me, apparently, in Croatia. And I was recognized in the street several times. And I got recognized on top of a mountain. And I had a group of people yelling, pomalo, when they saw me.
Oh, so you're a Croatian celebrity now.
I had some moments where I was led to believe I was. I had people stopping me in Zagreb, which is very far from the trail. I had people stopping me in random places. I had a guy chasing me in the street to get a picture with me because he saw me on Facebook.
Oh, wow. That sounds so fun.
That was amazing. And I was like, I am just on holidays. Why?
You mentioned that part of the reason you did the trail was to find purpose, and you just said you didn't find it, which is fine. That's great. But do you feel like the experience changed you?
I'm afraid it didn't. This is something that I always talk with my friend who stayed there, and like, but how are you different now? I wish I was. I wish it changed me that much. But it was so surreal. It was so insane compared to my real life that it kind of feel a little bit like a dream I had. I am not a very sportive guy. I am not a guy who does hike a lot. I am not this kind of crazy adventurous guy. I was not even on Instagram before that, and I'm not very connected. And it made me a completely different kind of persona. During the trail, I was really like crazy. It was almost an out of body experience. I was looking at myself like, ha, you're hiking, you fool. You're Instagram celebrity for creation, you fool. and when it all ended up, I just arrived in Belgium, and it was confinement again, lockdown again. And I've been there like, did I really do it? It's kind of weird. I'm looking at the pictures like, I didn't do that. It's impossible. That's not me. So I don't think it changed me so much. It did change me in some little aspects. I do enjoy hiking way more now, and I'm envisioning other like long distance hike because I really enjoy the atmosphere. I did found a lot of amazing people along the way, and I'm really happy about that. But in terms of me, myself, and I, no, it didn't change me. I am still as lost as ever. I still don't know what I want to do with my life. But I know that I can walk 1,000 kilometers. That's something that I know now.
I guess one option would be you could take that viewpoint into your everyday life, Pomelo, you know, sipping your coffees in Belgium on the street, that type of thing.
That I can do, definitely. And I'm already doing that, to be honest. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm already Pomelo every day.
Except I guess there's not anyone coming up to you in the street in Belgium saying, Pomelo!
Now that you mention it, there is a terrible lack of people coming up to my street just telling me Pomelo in Belgium. It's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. Now, you mentioned you were thinking of some other long distance hikes. What are you contemplating?
So because I still have the Appalachian Trail in my head, but now I'm afraid that the experience I would have on the Appalachian Trail would not be as powerful as the one I had in Croatia, because this feeling of exploration I had, which means that I was really one of the first to pass in some places, and as a French person, so not a Croatian, also an outsider, etc., etc. I think there is a thrill that I would not get on the Appalachian Trail, which is a very popular trail where you almost know everything in advance. Like you said, there is less a wow moment because you can really read everything in advance and you can be prepared for everything. So I still have it in the corner of my head, but I don't think I would go for it right now. Maybe one day in the future. I have this visa that is for 10 years. So eventually, maybe, you know, and I would probably need my bear bag finally. The other ones that I was thinking about, there is the Te Aroha in New Zealand that is roughly the same size. The only thing that prevented me, apart from Corona, is it seems to be a lot of road walking, and I don't want to road walk at all. So now the two ones, one that I would dream to do is the Trans-Caucasian Trail. So the Trans-Caucasian Trail is a trail between Georgia and Armenia in the south of Russia. It is being made at the moment, so I don't know how it is for the moment. And with the tension between Armenia and Georgia, it's also complicated. But it's in the Caucasus region, and I would love to go there. And it seems the kind of things of exploration like I had in Croatia. And for the moment, it's not ready, so I know I can't do it. But if I could, one way or another, I would definitely have a go. And the other one has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's in South Korea. There is a trail like going across all of South Korea in the mountains, because I was in Korea a few years back and I just loved the place. And this would go across all the mountains. Also, not many people do it apart from Koreans, not Croatian. And I think that would excite me. And to be fair, I would be even more excited to be able to continue in North Korea because it's the same mountains range. And that would be just like a crazy dream to just like reunite the two by just walking. I know it's impossible at the moment, but that's kind of in my head to maybe go and hike in South Korea.
Yeah, the North Korea part does sound like a bit of a stumbling block there, though. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
So if you do another long distance hike, which it sounds like you probably are going to do, would you change anything as far as preparation or gear or mindset?
I would not go as crazily because obviously it's the second one, so it's never the same. I would research maybe more, except if once again everything changed at the last moment and then I would embrace it. But I would definitely research more. For example, Korea, if I do it, I know nothing of Korean, so I would like pick up a little bit of Korean before going, obviously, and try to understand if it's doable or not, and maybe try to find sponsors or something, because I need the money.
Right.
So maybe that. And also I would think about maybe having a plan more for outcome, like maybe doing a video or something. I am a journalist, right? I did journalism school and I worked as a journalist for a little bit. So I would like to do something a little bit in that area too, maybe, and try to combine the two aspects. And in terms of gear, no, my gear was quite amazing. I really loved my gear. I would trade for newer options, like more performing options, obviously, if I can. And also some stuff got destroyed because it's ultralight equipment and it's not made to last forever. So my backpack, for example, is destroyed and I would need to replace it. But apart from that, no, I think I had quite a sweet deal. I had a very comfortable hike. I slept like a baby every night. It was amazing.
Well, that is lucky.
Yeah.
So looking back, are there any moments that stick out in your mind, you know, that are the absolute highlights of the trip?
I cannot rank the encounters with trail angels and the people who helped me. It's impossible to rank them. So I will not mention just one in particular because it was just every time amazing. And I was just like the luckiest guy ever to have been welcomed like that. So yes, the community would be like the highlight, obviously. In terms of hiking, I don't like to walk that much, to be honest. What I really love is to stop. So walking to me is just an excellent excuse to be tired enough to really enjoy my stopping. So I would mention probably the best night of my life. I have never been so ecstatic. During a through hike, everything is extreme, the highs and the lows. And your mind can be as depressed, like, oh my God, I'm worthless, to as ecstatic for literally anything. And that night, I was euphoric. It was in a mountain hut in the beginning of Velebit, the mountain hut Shdrilo. I mention it because the people who can be there, it's a free mountain hut, quite recent, that has, it's very small, it's attached to a rock, and it looks like a very a little spaceship that has been anchored to the rock and gives a space heaven. And this has LED lights, this has water, and it's like cut from everything, and it has a window, and it's completely isolated. It's beautiful. It's very small, so it's extremely cozy. There is a little table, there is a lot of things. And when I arrived there, I was alone. And the moment I arrived, I felt some raindrops on my shoulder because it started to rain. And it actually started to be one of the biggest mountain storm ever. And in my head, I was like, okay, if there is people in Shdrilo, that's okay. I will put my tent outside. I was so happy not to do it because what happened next was insane. In just like 10 minutes, everything was dark. And within 15 minutes, I could have a flash of lightning every half second. It felt like a disco and the wind was crazy. Everything was just like nature going crazy, insane, really getting to me. And inside of the hut, it was so peaceful and perfect. And I was just the happiest man alive. I just like put some music on my phone and I was just dancing alone in the mountain hut and just enjoying my life, drinking my rakia. And I was like, I'm having the time of my life. And I've never been so ecstatic in my entire life. And I was just like opening the door and seeing like elements going crazy. I'm like, that's horrible outside. Let's go back in my safe space. And it was so amazing. I have like the best memory ever of that space, Štrilo. That is an amazing, if really you go in Croatia, try to hike to Štrilo. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And also I could name the very numerous time where I just made coffee on top of a mountain and just sat down and just looked down and like, I'm having my coffee and I'm on top of the world and I feel amazing and everything disappears for the moment. So yeah, I have those moments that really like are ingrained in my memory and it will be hard to wash off.
Hey, Thomas, you did this on your own. And I talked to a lot of people and, you know, one of their reasons they never do a through hike or a long hike is they can't find anybody to do it with. And so, you know, you've done it alone. I've done a lot of my stuff alone. You know, what's your feeling on doing something like this alone?
It's a personal choice. Like I said at the beginning, one of the ideas was to find myself. So to find myself, I needed to be myself. I was in a long time relationship. I was with my ex for 10 years. So, I mean, I was not that much alone when I was at my place, but I did travel alone quite a lot. We were quite independent. And at the time I was like, yeah, I don't know how it is to be single, actually. I don't know how it is to be myself. I've always been like with someone supporting me and me supporting someone. So I needed to find a way to just like see how I fare really with no support except for myself. So the alone part was part of that and part as well as I just like to do it my way. I don't want to wait for someone that is too slow, but it almost never happens. I don't want someone to press me to go faster. I don't want someone to just tell me, okay, now the wait is over, let's go hike on, etc. I don't think I would fare well with someone on the long term if it wasn't someone that is extremely close to me, so either my girlfriend or something like that. I don't know if I could do it with a buddy. Maybe I could. Maybe I'm fooling myself thinking that I can't. Maybe I can. But at the time, I felt I needed my adventure. It was really my adventure. And the only person I can congratulate in the end is me and the amazing community. Because let's be honest, without them, I would not have finished. So I'm kind of kidding myself saying I was alone because I had 4,000 people just looking at me and just like, go for it, go for it, go for it. So, but yeah, the nights where I was alone in my tent, the first ones were very terrifying, very terrifying. I was scared as hell of the bears. I was thinking that a bear was around the corner every day, and they were never. In the end, I was actually looking for them because I was kind of disappointed. I was like, bears, come on, give me something. And in the end, I was sleeping like a baby in the tent alone, even without phone signal and everything. I was like, my God, yeah, I feel really good, actually. I feel really good being there alone and just like making my little fire camp, eating my stuff, reading my book, and putting some music and dancing alone. I've been dancing alone quite a lot in the woods. I really hope there will never be a technology where you can see back somehow what happened in life, because I would be foolish.
Sounds like a lot of joy.
It was, it was a lot of joy and intertwined with a lot of sadness because I was quite depressed and I'm still am deep down. But during the day, I was just like munching on my bad memories and my bad thoughts all the time. And actually, when I was stopping, it was a moment where I could feel good and I could feel like, it's okay. Now I feel better. But during the day, it was just like, I feel bad. Life is horrible. And then my legs hurt. And then I have this that hurt and this hurt. And then I stopped. I had a beer and I was like, yeah, it's good. So yeah, it was kind of a contrasted experience. But I wouldn't change a thing.
This sounds like an incredible journey, so unique in terms of not, you know, having to change at the last minute and just the joy and the openness. You know, so many people get focused on the end and what they have to do each day and just having the openness to new experiences is just a different way to approach these. And I think it's a really fun way. You know, you have so many different experiences that somebody 5 years from now doing the VA Adriatica will have, because they'll be focused on, I have to finish it in 10 weeks or I have to finish it in 50 days. And they'll miss all these incredible moments. So I want to say thanks for sharing all this. This has been a fun discussion. I feel like I was there with you. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me and for taking the time to listen to my holidays.
If you want to learn a little bit more, Thomas has a great Instagram account. It's at Kartapui. I'm going to put that in the show notes, as well as a link to his YouTube video on his trip. And so you can, you know, get a little bit more, hear some more hilarious stories, and just kind of understand what this super unique trip was on a new route. One of the first people to do it in a pandemic. Definitely a totally unique trip. Thanks a lot.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.